It is good to be back with you. We've been gone for a week on a cruise, Tony and I and all of our family. It is so good to be back with you. We're not happy to be back, but we are happy to be back. You know what I'm saying? We just left the Bahamas where it was 73 or 75 and the sun was shining and we had a wonderful time with our family. We thank God for that. We had been on a cruise back in January a year ago. Tony and I had gone, and when we came home from that trip, our kids gathered around us and said, "We want you to know something." We said, "Yes." They said, "We want to go with you when you go on the next cruise. We want to go." So this time it was a joy. We took and paid for them to go, all the kids and then our grandkids, and so we had a wonderful, amazing time. And then I don't know, maybe 3 weeks before we left, JP called me and said, "Dad, will you come over? I want you to see something. And would you come over and meet me at a place?" And I went and met him at a place, and he was looking at wedding rings. And he said, "Dad, I've prayed and I'm ready and found the right girl, and I want you to look at the ring with me." And so we looked at the ring, and so then I told him, "You know, if she wants to go with us on the cruise, she's welcome to come with us." And so she decided to come as well. And then a very good friend of mine, Reverend Fred Love from Memphis, Tennessee, came with us, him and his wife. And then his wife's sister, Catherine, also came. And Fred and I used to be FedEx managers together here in Tulsa. And Don, other people might know Fred. But he moved to Memphis, Tennessee when he retired from FedEx. He went straight into the ministry, and just like me. And so we've had a long-standing friendship. And so they met us on the cruise ship, and we had a great time with them as well. And so Tony and I had a great anniversary, and it was just a romantic, fun, enjoyable setting. But having all the kiddos and grandkids there, it was double fun. For the whole trip, I mean. And then when John Paul proposed to Jasmine, his fiance, she was completely shocked. And it was just a great time in the Lord. And so we had a great time. Yeah. And we heard there was a storm going on. We heard there was a storm brewing back here. But news of the storm did not affect us too much, I must say. We did pray for y'all. We did pray. But every time we'd get a beep on the phone, they said the weather's getting worse, and so we did pray for you. But we just thought it was hard to be concerned about the storm when you're in the middle of turquoise blue water and it's 73 or 75 degrees out there. We are glad to be back in that sense. We're glad to be back with you. And then, of course, we bumped right into the storm coming back because we were flying Delta, and all our kiddos, they were flying Southwest, and I don't know, Tony works for Southwest, I don't know why we didn't fly Southwest. We were flying Delta, and their hub is in Atlanta, Georgia, which got frozen over, and so they stopped all airplane traffic going in and out of Atlanta, Georgia for about 12 hours, so we got caught in the middle of that. But right in the middle, we just had peace. People were freaking out all around us, you know. But, you know, when you've been there in the Bahamas and you've been there just in the presence of God and just enjoying the presence of God and your family, just in a state of peace. Just seemed like this too will pass. I ain't letting no storm bother me. We just had peace the whole time. But I want to talk to you tonight about that, because I asked the Lord before I left here about what he wanted me to share, thinking about tonight before we left. And interestingly enough, he wanted me to talk about going through a storm. So I want you to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 5. When I was studying this, there was no plan of a storm, no news or knowledge of a storm. When I was planning my message with you tonight, I was just trying to obey the Lord. But Matthew chapter 4. Did I say 5? Matthew 4 and verse 35. Matthew 4 and verse 35. I'm reading from the New Living Translation tonight. Just want to read 6 verses to you and talk about overcoming your storm. Overcoming your storm. In Mark 4:35, in the New Living Translation, you'll find these words. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. And so they took Jesus in a boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm, everybody say a fierce storm. A fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with worry. No, it says it began to fill with water. I put that in there. I wrote worry next to that in my Bible because that's what a lot of people do. They fill their boat with worry when a storm comes. But the scripture says here, high waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. Verse 38, Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" And when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." And suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. And then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." Even the wind and the waves obey him. Let me say this before I go into my text and the points I want to make tonight. Wednesday, I encourage you to be here Wednesday. And I know we were out of town, of course, and didn't get to hear Pastor Denise minister, but I encourage everybody, far and near, be here on Wednesday. And during this special series, let's get in on the Word. But I'm encouraging you because Reverend Tanner Gregorich is a mighty man of God. And I know his mom and dad are down here, and so a lot of times, you know, when that's your child, you're a little more quiet about it. But I'm just going to tell it like a T.I. is. He is a great man of God. And a lot of times people say, "Well, what's going on with our youth? What's happening to our youth?" But all around us, right in front of us, young folk are following the Lord. Young folk are going into business. Young folk are going into ministry. Young folk are fulfilling the plan and the call of God right around us. And listen, and when young folk begin to obey God and step out on his word, anointed young people, here's what we ought to do. We ought to support them. I said, amen. And so on Wednesday, don't let yourself sit home when a mighty word is going to come that's going to encourage us and how to get stronger and how to set goals, physical goals. Let's come out and support what God is doing through this young man. Is that all right? I meant to say that before I started. I felt like the Lord wanted me to say that before I started. But let's come out and support this mighty young man in the Lord and his wife. All right, back to our text. You know, when you're going through a storm, you can have different perspective. Going through, when we heard that you all were having a storm here, even though we did pray for you, that storm wasn't really affecting us. And as I say, we were in 73, 75 degree weather and the sun was shining and the breeze was blowing calmly. The water was a turquoise blue and we were in a certain state of mind. I'm still in that state of mind. Still in my mind, I can still see the blue water just off the balcony of our room on the cruise ship. I'm still there. It's going to take me a little bit. I said, when we came back and we came through all the storm and all that, I said, it's going to take more than a storm to shake me out of this mode that I'm in. But, you know, in working for FedEx all of those years, and of course, in that line of business, you know, planes fly through the storm. I remember when I first started what they call jump seating with FedEx, you know, the pilots explained to me when I was first started jump seating, they said something, that I'm sure they told everybody. They just said, you know, "Look, Bill, it's going to be a bumpy ride. We're flying freight. We're not flying people. There's a few souls on board the plane, but our objective is to get this freight to Memphis, Tennessee. And we fly right through the storm. We don't fly around the storm like a passenger airliner. They're going to fly above the storm. They're going to fly around the storm. They're going to do that." They said, our goal, and he showed me the radar. He said, "See the radar? See where it's yellow and red?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "We're going straight through that." He said, so we don't want you to be alarmed, but we fly through the storm. We get the freight there on time. And so I said, okay. And so I noticed that these pilots had a different perspective about storms than I had. And when I first started flying by jump seat, it means you don't pay. You're just flying in an extra seat on the plane. Oh, man, that plane would hit turbulence and it would begin to rock violently. And but one thing I noticed about the pilot, I flew in flight after flight after flight like that. And at first I was wide-eyed the whole time. Until we landed, wheels up to wheels down, I was wide-eyed. Because you can see, you're sitting right behind the captain in that 727, and you can see the screen that they're looking at, and you can see the moment you're going to hit that turbulence. And it feels something, it looks something like this. You're in the chair, but you're doing something like this. But the perspective of the pilots was different than my perspective. And so a lot of times I'd see them, I'd watch them, and they'd start talking to each other. On many occasions, they were having a conversation similar to this. So, Joe, how's the family doing? Oh, they're doing fine. Everything's going good. Well, how's your wife? Oh, yeah, she's doing something over here, and they're doing good. Well, how's this going? Oh, everything's going good. I was looking at them talking about nothing to me. I was thinking to myself, shouldn't you be thinking about the storm? Shouldn't you be talking about the storm? But they set it on autopilot, and that thing would just rock and go through the storm like that. And after a while, I realized I'm the only one upset here. I'm the only one on the plane upset. And so after a while, I adopted the perspective of the pilots. I wish I had an amen in here. What's your first point tonight, preacher? If Jesus is on board your ship, everything is going to be okay. I wish you'd look at somebody and repeat my first point. If Jesus is on board your ship, everything is going to be okay. I learned how to adopt the perspective of the pilots. Yeah. And so I'd get on the plane and they'd say, Bill, we're flying through rough weather. And I'd say, okay, sir. And they'd put that thing in autopilot and that thing start jumping around and they'd start talking casually about kids, about school, about anything. I just go on to sleep. And after a while, I just got to where it didn't matter. That thing would be violent. I just go right to sleep. I could feel the landing gear come down on the plane. I know we're getting ready to land. Wake up then. Yeah. Because the perspective of the pilot became my own perspective. You know, they say this about sheep, that the attitude of the sheep is reflective of the shepherd. That when the sheep are grazing, every now and then they happen to look up and catch a glimpse of their shepherd. And if the shepherd's all right, and if the shepherd's in a state of calm, if there is tranquility around the shepherd, then the sheep just keep on grazing because they know that everything is going to be all right. And if the shepherd is not upset, why should they be upset? And if Jesus is on board the ship of your life, everything is gonna be okay. And so we all go through storms from time to time. And you may be going through a storm tonight. Or you may be sitting here saying, oh, you may be like us when we were in the Bahamas. Nope, no storm here. Praise the Lord. But eventually, if you're not going through a storm, you will be. And you need to remember this first point, that if Jesus is on board your ship, then everything is going to be all right. And the disciples should have adopted the perspective of the pilot, the Lord Jesus. But they freaked out, didn't they? They freaked out. And when the storm came, the scripture says that Jesus was on a pillow asleep. That he was in the boat. He was present. But he was asleep. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had been there, that would have freaked me out. If he was asleep. And that is, in fact, if he was sleeping. You know, because sometimes the Lord did stuff, and sometimes just to make a point, or sometimes to enforce a direction, or to get people into faith. Sometimes he would fake one thing and then do another, and that helped people to get into faith and so forth. I remember in Luke 24, where the two disciples are on the road to Emmaus. In Luke chapter 24, they're worried, they're upset, they're freaking out. It's after the resurrection. The resurrection has just happened. You ever read Luke 24? And these two brothers, one of them's name is Cleopas, and the other brother, they're walking back to Emmaus. It's a 7-mile journey, Luke 24 says. It's a 7-mile journey on the road back to Emmaus. They were freaking out because they weren't sure that Jesus had been resurrected from the dead. They knew he promised it. They knew all the stuff he said. But it had not it had not become a reality to them that he was who he said he was and he would do what he said he would do. And they freaked out. And so they decided to go back to Emmaus, where they were from, and they were walking back to Emmaus. And the scripture says that the Lord Jesus came up to them and started walking with them, and they were kept from recognizing him. Look over there with me in Luke 24 real quick. They were kept from recognizing him. They were going through their own private little storm. And but he was walking with them, but they couldn't see it. In Luke 24:14, it says, as they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened, and as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them, but God kept them from recognizing him. Isn't that interesting? They were walking with Jesus, but they were kept from recognizing him. Verse 17, and so he asked them, what are you discussing so intently as you walk? And they stopped short, sadness written across their faces. And then one of them, Cleopas, replied, you must be the only person in Jerusalem who hadn't heard about all the things that have happened here the last few days. What things? Jesus asked. The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth, they said. He was a prophet who did powerful miracles and was mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But as our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. And so they went on explaining that. And then if you skip down to verse 25, then Jesus said to them, you foolish people. Remember, they still don't know who he is. They still can't see him. You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe in all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? And then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses, all the prophets, and explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. In the middle of their storm, Jesus took them to the scriptures. And look at 27 again. He took them through the writings of Moses. You know what that is? That's the Pentateuch. You know what that is? That's the first five books of the Bible. So while they're walking on these 7 miles, instead of Jesus revealing who he is, he starts showing them who he is on the pages of Scripture. And he's taking them through Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. And he's explaining all of those messianic scriptures about himself. Can you imagine walking with Jesus, not knowing who he is, and he's explaining where he is on the pages of Scripture? That must have been one awesome conversation. And not only does he take them to the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, the Scripture says he takes them to all the prophets, verse 27 again, all the prophets explaining from all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. And so he goes through Scripture after Scripture after Scripture. Later they said about this time in the Word, later they said this. They said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us? Verse 32. Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? This was after he was revealed to them. So what's your point, preacher? So he's walking with them. He's explaining the scriptures to them. And then eventually he was explaining so many messianic scriptures. They eventually walked out the 7 miles and it was time for them to turn into their destination. And what did Jesus do? The scripture says he faked like he was going on. And then they said, hey, don't go on. Come and stay with us. And so he says, okay, okay. And so he comes with them and they sit down for dinner and they break bread. And when they break the bread, they realize it's Jesus. Their eyes are opened up and he vanishes from their sight. What's your point? Now, I don't know if Jesus was asleep on that boat or not. Now, he might very likely have been asleep because he certainly wasn't worried about any storm. And he might have been just sound asleep as it appears, knocked out on that cushion. I don't know. But my inquiring mind wonders if Jesus also wasn't waiting for them to respond in faith. So my first point is, if Jesus is on board your ship, everything is going to be okay. My second point is this: if God has told you to go over to the other side, believe him. I said, if God has told you to go over to the other side, believe him. Go back to our story there in Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus spoke some very, very important words. We read verse 35, Mark 4, 35. And as evening came, Jesus said to the disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. Let's cross to the other side of the lake. Jesus spoke some seemingly meaningless words, but they were power-packed words, and when Jesus spoke those words, he meant that. And if God has told you to cross over to the other side, believe him. Now, you know so many of my stories I've shared before, so many times how I was also on a FedEx plane one time, and with no storm, coming out of Memphis, Tennessee, headed to Newark, New Jersey, a big old DC-10. Then something blew up in the engine, and we were just taking off, and we were fully loaded with freight, and boom, and that big old DC-10 rolled out of the sky like it was going to crash right into the ground. And we could hear the alarms going off, and the pilots were trying to get control of the plane, and one pilot was trying to get the emergency landing guide, and the plane was violently shaking and going down. He couldn't get it, and he was trying to get out of his seatbelt and get it. It flew across the cockpit, and then the captain overcorrected, and the plane went the other way too far, and oh, man, we were in a life-threatening situation. I never forget that. I was praying in other tongues, but I was also quoting God's word and saying that plane was not going to crash in Jesus' name. And I never forget, as they got the plane turned around and all the emergency equipment met us at the airport, and they got the plane back on the ground, and it came to a quick halt, and they just started spraying foam from everywhere. They got it. They rushed us off and started just foaming down the plane. And I remember the pilot's reaction. I was nervous that night because I saw the reaction of the pilots. They were nervous. That night, in with that situation, they weren't just talking about the kids and about school and about the weather. They were nervous like they were going to lose their lives. And they were trying to save the plane and save our lives, but there was a God in heaven who had his hand on the situation. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. I said, there was a pilot of the plane, but the real pilot was the God I was praying to. And if the Lord has told you to cross over to the other side, then you're going to have to decide to believe his word. And the little passage that we shared in Luke 24, those brothers, after they saw Jesus and after he disappeared from their sight, one of the things they said, were not our hearts burning within us as he was explaining the scriptures? If you're going to see Jesus in the middle of your storm, you're going to have to stay in the word. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. If you're going to see Christ right in the middle of your storm, you're going to have to stay glued to the word. You're going to have to keep your head in the book. You're going to have to keep your eyes meditating on scripture. Oh, but there is something so mighty that happens when a believer will, in the middle of a storm, keep their eyes on the Lord through the word. And as I say, I always say it this way, look, with the story in Luke 24, if it were me, if I were Jesus, and I'm not Jesus, but if I were Jesus and I showed up and those brothers weren't believing, I just went, I'm Jesus, believe. It is I, believe. He didn't do that. He kept himself hidden from them until they could see him in the Word. And oftentimes he'll be hidden from you and I until we learn how to find him in the Word. But when you can find Jesus in the Word, in the middle of your storm, God will speak to you over and over and over again. And I don't know about you, but I've been through storms in my life, crises and situations. And I can remember how the Lord spoke to me in one particular storm that was raging all around me. I was going through a divorce, you know my story. But I remember in the middle of that, the Lord spoke to me, spoke to my heart. And man, from the pages of Scripture, you know what God can do? He can cause a rhema word to come to you, a rhema word to come right in your spirit. And a lot of times when you're in the Word and meditating in the Word, and God will take from that Word and cause a word to come alive right in your spirit. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. A lot of times people say, well, I ain't getting no rhema words. I ain't got no rhema word. I wish I had a rhema word. Listen, if you'll get in the Word, if you'll meditate in Scripture, a rhema word will come right off the pages of Scripture. And right in the middle of your storm, God will give you scriptures to lock onto. He'll give you scriptures to link onto. He'll give you scriptures to cling onto. And oh my, when he does that, he'll give you a rhema word right in the middle of your storm. Cleopas and the other brother said this, did not our hearts burn within as he was quoting scripture? They said Jesus was quoting scripture. We couldn't see who he was, but our hearts on the inside were burning within. Why? Because there was a rhema word down on the inside of them. And if God has told you to go to the other side, believe him. And when you're going through a storm, the Lord's telling you, go to the other side of the problem. You say, well, Brother Bill, I'm going through a relationship. My relationship has ended and I'm struggling and you don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't know what you're going through, but I know this. God's telling you, go to the other side. You may be like me. Maybe you've walked through something as difficult as a divorce, but God's telling you, go to the other side. You say, well, I'm going through a financial crisis, Brother Bill, but God's telling you, go to the other side. Somebody says, I'm struggling in an area of my life, but God's telling you tonight, you need to go to the other side. And by other side, I mean the victory side. Because somewhere I read, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Somewhere I read, greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. Somewhere I read, we overwhelmingly conquer through him. Somewhere I read that if God be for you, who can be against you? If God has told you to go to the other side, and he has, then believe him. And finally, tonight, listen. If you're going through a storm, don't just sit there, speak to it. So often when storms happen, tragedies in life, fires and storms, people just love to go and stare. It's just human nature for people to stare at storms, to stare at disaster, to just look at the consequences and all the dread of it all. But if you're going through a storm, don't just sit there. You're going to have to speak to that storm. And in the middle of my storm, going through that divorce, I'll never forget how from the pages of Scripture, God gave me rhema words. And then as I clung to those words, I remember the Lord saying to me one morning in my quiet time, stand up and speak to your storm and command that the storm is over. And at the time when the Lord told me that, it was raging. The storm not only was not over, the storm was raging. The storm was intensifying. But as I stood by faith and declared, the storm is over in the name of Jesus, every circumstance changed. Every circumstance began to settle. Every situation began to turn around. And from all of the raging storm, God brought peace and calm and tranquility. And in one of those rhema words that he gave me, that when you come through this, you won't even smell like smoke, I can testify God's been faithful to his word. I said he's been faithful to his word. And if you've ever seen my beautiful bride, then you know I'm a blessed man. Yeah. Because God is good. And God knows how to bring you through the storm. So listen to me. If Jesus is on board your ship, everything's going to be okay. If God's told you to go to the other side, believe him. If you're going through a storm, don't just sit there. Speak to it. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your powerful word. Thank you so much for your powerful spirit. Speak to people wherever they are, whatever they're dealing with, whatever they're going through. Heal people every place they hurt. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you. Praise God. All right, our prayer workers are coming now, and they're here to minister to you. They're not here to counsel you or whatever, but they are here to agree with you in prayer. They are here to help you and minister to you. And these are anointed people. And so if you're a lady, come to the ladies. And if you're a guy, come to the guy. We want you to walk in victory. Whether you're going through a storm now or whether you go through a storm at another time, God will bring you through. You remember who the pilot is. Keep your perspective the same as the pilots. All right. Stand up on your feet. Anything else? Anything that we need to mention? Anything else? All right. Don't forget Reverend Tanner Gregorich this coming Wednesday. Let's support this young man. He's got a lot of great, fantastic things to say. Let's be here and support him, all right? Be praying for our pastors, and we will see you right here Wednesday, Hour of Power. God bless you, everyone.